This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. It's Hour 1, G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for making us part of your sports day. General at your service. If you see me, bear me. N.A., there's Brian. You have Lucius Alexander, the Pimp Cup over there, Master Control here, 75, and Fitzhugh fixing to go 5. Eric Chiafalo is here. Zach Wolchuk, as you just heard, was filling in with the KMC Masterpiece, so salute to those boys. Nice show. Carter Freeman's coordinating your video. And along with you, we are the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Nice day out there. Pretty windy.
Pretty windy.
Yeah. Yep, pretty you got a storm windy. Blowing in or something?
Yeah, I don't know what it is, man, but the wind is here at all times, it feels like. I was trying to I had a gym snafu, so I'm having to get creative with how I'm working out. Maybe a conversation for a later date. But with spring break being in action, I have a middle school like right down the street from my house. So I was just doing like some crap on their track, just kind of like walking, really not doing anything. I heard skipping was good for you, so you could have found me skipping at 7 a.m. this morning. But the
wait
wind
minute, you're telling
was
me walking is not any good. Why am I doing
it? No, not that walking's not good. Walking is also good.
Oh, I'm more curious about this gym snafu, bro. That's like, what happened at the gym, dog?
I want to hear what's going on.
Snafu.
Old men in towels again?
No, I wish. I'm longing for that. The lifetime fitness, right?
Yeah.
That's a nice gym.
That's a great gym.
I would never pay for that gym. I pay $10 a month to go to a different gym.
Okay.
Which is 100% a worse experience.
It's a gym.
But it's a gym.
Yeah.
And so it's $10 compared to like $200 or something crazy. Well, my brothers are willing to pay the big money to go to Lifetime. I have been acting like one of my brothers for the last 3 months, and they caught me.
Oh, wow.
And so now I'm back to square one on, and I'm like, I don't want to drive further to go to the crappier gym. So now I'm just trying to get creative, Lucius. I'm like, push-ups are awesome, aren't they? Who needs weights?
How did you get caught?
Yeah. How'd they call you out?
I think they've just migrated in a more superior security system.
That Trump coming in office. That's what it'll do every time, man.
One of my brothers.
You got doged.
Got big ball. I've been dodging him for a while, and then I got doged.
Yeah.
So I, my brother was just basically sent me a screenshot of his little like scanner deal that you just scan your phone.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And so it's been working. It pops up a picture of you, but I'll kind of like wear a hat or whatever disguise, and I'm just
you
quick.
Got the one brother looks
really
exactly like
him.
You.
Yeah,
you
this isn't the one that really looks that much like me, but he was the only one willing to put himself at risk as well. So I've been doing this probably since like around before the new year, like around Christmas time, because they were going all the time and I was dang, I don't get to go with these guys. And so my brother gave it to me and it's been working, but now I don't know. They have like a second computer that now can identify or something, because immediately, as soon as I scanned, they said it was like, hey, there's something wrong here. This feels like this might be the wrong account or whatever. I wasn't trying to put up a fight. I was like, let me circle back on this.
Oh, okay,
and they've never seen me again.
I got the real barcode in my car.
This is definitely y'all's fault, and I'm going to go figure out why, and I'll be back.
Jeez, did you walk out like, oh, wait, I might have grabbed the wrong card and then didn't come back?
That's 100% what I did. Yeah, I played it like a coward.
That's it.
That's awesome, dude. That's pretty funny, but, you know, sometimes you got to do what you got to do to, you know, try to get a hookup, you know? And,
yeah.
The next thing you know, you're...
And here's the deal, like 972, why are you crapping on the, you know, why are you crapping on the run of the mill gyms? I'm not. I am that guy. But once you get a taste of the good life for 3 months, all of a sudden you get back down, you get humbled real quick. And
the other gym, you can't make grunt noises.
Right.
You can't. Somebody come over there. Hey, man, can you keep it down just a little bit? You know, other people are trying to work out. But like, what?
You got
to
take the AirPods out.
These are 60s, bro. I'm struggling here.
Yeah.
I just like whatever I can do at my house. Like, we have a bike. I have a bench with some dumbbells and a total gym. You know, one of them Chuck Norris total gyms. And that's good enough for me. You know?
What time in the morning did you buy the total gym? Was that like when you?
About 11:30 at night, I think it was.
Wait, I was just going to ask you, was this one of those things you were drinking? Back in the day?
It was a long time ago. It might have been,
like those impulse buys when you go home.
And I think I paid way too much for it because when they first came out and there was like this whole campaign on it and stuff, I think I paid like $900 for it. Now you can get them at like Academy Sports for like $178.
See, that's my wheelhouse. Yeah. I'm going to have to figure something out.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it is about the gym, man. It's just there's so many people. They're sweating. They're doing social media. I don't think I've had a membership for 10 years.
Is this, Lucius, is the social media stuff really bad?
Yeah, bro, I love it, man.
You love that?
Heck yeah.
Like, do you have to be mindful?
Motivated. I can't wait to get back to the gym.
So when you're walking around the gym, do you have to be mindful where you walk, so you know, getting someone's
video? Yeah, for the most part. I mean, you know, just keep, you know, you can just keep walking like you always do. Don't stand in front of somebody's camera or whatnot. Yeah. But yeah, you got to keep in mind.
Yeah.
It's not bad, man. There's enough space in there.
Okay.
The ambiance is fly. They got the lights that, you know, they know you're going to do some Instagram stuff. Yeah.
Do you ever wonder how many videos, workout videos, you're in the background of the internet?
And struggling for my life in the back. The barbell is hat, like, you know,
weights are sliding off the end.
Can't get that left arm up. Right hand is all the way up. I'm looking crazy in the back of somebody's video.
Well, hopefully the Stars don't struggle on video tonight. Yeah. They will host the Ducks. Should be an electric atmosphere at the AAC as the Stars are looking to avoid the rare 3-game losing streak. I don't know the last time that happened to them, to be honest, but Anaheim slightly under 500. Stars are a big favorite here. The money line's minus 355. And you could be looking at a fiesta if you head down there tonight. It is Noche Mexicana evening.
There you go.
Be a celebration of Mexican culture. Pre-game party starts at 5 o'clock, looking at food trucks, a concert. There are Stars bandanas for early fans that get there and other promotions to be had as you go watch your hockey team tonight. Cameron Hayward gives us the latest on the Aaron Rodgers story, decision on where he's going to play. He was asked, will he help recruit? He was talking on his podcast and says, I'm not doing the darkness retreat. I don't need any of that crap. Either you want to be a Steeler or you don't. It's that simple. That's the pitch. If you want me to recruit, that's the pitch. Steelers. If you want to be part of it, so be it. If you don't, no skin off my back. I just think this is an example of why the Steelers maybe aren't a good fit for Aaron Rodgers, Brian.
No, I think that there's already, it sounds like to me, and you know, Cameron Hayward, he's kind of the elder statesman of that group. And so if he's kind of saying, hey, you either want to be here or you don't, I think he speaks for several of those Steelers that are currently on that team that, like, listen, hey, we're all about, you know, us coming together and playing really good ball. And they do. They play great for Mike Tomlin. It seems like every year it's when you count them out, they find ways to win games. So that's a pretty tight group right there. And if he comes in there and disrupts that, which he very well could, I think there's going to be some bigger issues there in Pittsburgh.
He says, I'm tired of talking about the quarterback situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd rather have it done.
Yeah.
I don't know what ends up happening. I just think at this point, it'd probably be awkward to walk in there as Aaron Rodgers as well. Like, I'm reading this like, I don't think I want to go over there to Pittsburgh.
Those players all talk to each other.
And they already are annoyed by me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm the target in their group chat right now.
Yeah.
I'm not signing with that team and walking into a situation that's already against me.
Yeah.
It would be highly entertaining, though, with that wide receiver core
yeah.
and Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Bro,
Yeah, let's get a hard
crash house every yes. Yeah, a 30 for 30.
You're going to have that whole team do an ayahuasca.
That's right.
Settle them down a little
group
bit.
Group ayahuasca.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously just waiting around for the Vikings. He's like, I got no rush to sign with the Giants and the Steelers if I think there's any chance the Vikings want me. He wants that shirt off of Broadus's back right now.
That's
the most purpley shirt I've ever seen in my life.
That's the problem, though. If you're in a situation where you're trying to play one team against a couple other teams and it doesn't work out, if it doesn't work out in Minnesota, you know what he needs to do? Retire. You don't need to go, like, you walk into those situations with the Giants or walk in with, you know, with Pittsburgh, and they're already thinking that they're second and third on the list. You know, I don't think I'd necessarily want to be that guy for a teammate. So I would, if I was Rodgers, the smart thing would be just retire. Don't put yourself through that, but he will. And you know, he
should retire already. Yeah. You know, I think a lot of the greats, when they start to play at the Aaron Rodgers level, they're like, I got to get out of here. Like Tom Brady never got that bad.
How about no when you're not any good anymore?
Yeah.
Haven't you watched the last 2 years and thought, man, well, I know the first year he was in New York, he had the Achilles, but that had to tell you you're starting to break down a little bit. And then this last year, you're not good enough.
Let's play that finish the phrase game like we played with Lucius yesterday. Yeah. The man in the mirror
is an idiot.
I'm looking at him.
Is the last to know.
The man in the mirror is the last to know.
The last to know. That's a good point.
And so we can all know, but Rodgers is, he's going to be hanging on.
Yeah.
Okay, Belichick has snagged an Aggie recruit, 4-star DT Treshawn Ruffin, flipped his commitment from A&M to North Carolina, marking the Tar Heels' highest rated new pledge since Bill took over in December. 12th ranked prospect. He is from North Carolina, so it's not like he's taking him out of your backyard, but you know, he's a pretty good prospect and recently attended Duke UNC basketball. That helped flip him. He's like, I don't want to miss out on this college basketball scene. A&M's got a pretty good one too.
They do.
But I guess that Tobacco Road rivalry made an impression on him.
Yeah, those 9 miles will do it for you.
Okay, Cooper Flagg's goal is to play Friday for Duke in their opener. Duke is going to play the winner of the first 4 game between American University and Mount St. Mary's, but apparently they've told the selection committee and the TV networks that he's going to play, so you can go ahead and plan accordingly. They want to have that game in the primetime spot there if Cooper Flagg's going to ball.
Okay.
Ryan seems to be a ratings magnet there right now.
Oh, yeah. He's player. Best player in the sport, man. Mm-hmm. And he's got he had the hype coming in, and he's lived up to it.
How good is he going to be as a pro?
I think all signs indicate he's going to be pretty dang awesome. I mean, he does so much for Duke, and they're good enough to where, like, the other night they didn't need him to win.
Does he average like 18 points a game?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah.
If you had to say, and I'm not going to sit here and act like I watch a bunch of Duke basketball, but is his game, is he like a, it always seems like to me with ball in hand, with chance to win, he's the guy that they of course lean on, but it's like he tries to drive the ball, penetrate. Is he that? What's his game?
From my experience watching him, he's super well-rounded. Yeah. He can score, but he sets other guys up, like the gravity that he dictates for the defense. He's setting guys up left and right.
Good passer.
And then he gets out in transition. He plays defense. Like, he is extremely well-rounded. Yeah. And remember the stories coming out of Team USA last year.
Mm-hmm.
He got to practice with those guys at the Olympics.
They were liking him.
And they were
yeah.
raving about him.
Yeah.
So I think this is a guy that really is all
that. His game
that
translates.
He's been, yeah, all that he's. He's a big guy. Yeah. And he's athletic. He can run the show offensively at that size.
You think he's got point guard ability?
Yeah, like I don't know if it's to the LeBron Luka level of like you feel like you're playing with 10 eyeballs and you can just see everything before it happens. Mm-hmm. But he definitely has the ability to run your offense.
He's quite a player, you know, and I think he's probably the number one tune in for a lot of people here as we go into this tournament. But there's a lot of great storylines on both the men's side and the women's side. And we'd love to invite you to join us Friday at Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers to take it all in. We'll be there 2 to 7 for another show. And Lucius is coming along for the party as well.
Man, I am so excited about that.
Yeah,
it's fun. I wonder how many people. I wonder how many people are taking the day off, dude. They're really milking this thing.
Is anybody having more problems with this hat today than Lucius?
I don't know.
Oh, no. Oh, he's
gone over the headset.
And my headphone cord is caught up on my darn chair. Man, I looked at the game started like as soon as we get there, kind of.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It's going to be overwhelming.
I feel like we get to be the people to introduce cold beers and cheeseburgers to DFW.
Yes.
Quite an honor.
Absolutely.
It's an exciting thing. It's like you learned about the new hot band just a couple of weeks before their record dropped or whatever. Nuggets were without Jokic and Jamal Murray last night, still beat the Warriors. Westbrook and Aaron Gordon were really good if you got to watch it on TV. The Warriors now talking about trying to find some games for Steph Curry to take it easy down the stretch, do a little load management. How about a little 60 on soccer? Current USA skipper, former coach at PSG, Chelsea, and Tottenham, Mauricio Pochettino, says, hey, we can be the best team in the world in 5 to 10 years. He's talking about the red, white, and blue.
Yeah.
He cites the investment from Arthur Blank in a $50 million training facility that's going to be built in Atlanta and the impact of Messi and the MLS, continued investment in the infrastructure. You selling that, Brian?
You know what? I appreciate Arthur Blank coming up with money to build training facilities and all that. It seems like my whole life is spent like, and I played soccer as a kid when I was 9 years old, and they kept telling me about the growth of the game, and I'm 61 right now, and I'm still waiting. I there's certain sports I think that we're really, really good at. I don't think soccer's one of them.
We've been 10 years away for about 40, 50 years.
I kind of feel like that we're always on the back foot when it comes to soccer. We're never in the forefront of, like, we could talk about the training and more international play and all that stuff like that. But I always feel like that when it comes to tournament time, we're just the most ill-prepared team in the history of soccer.
Well, I was like one hit away. We're almost there.
Yeah. It just seems like to me that there's so much buzz and anticipation, and we've never taken advantage. The women have taken advantage of, like, the stuff that they've been able to do. The women's sports, the way that they play at North Carolina and some of these other schools, the women have done a great job. The men's program, always on the back foot.
Round of 16 in 2002, we beat Mexico 2-0 and then lose to Germany in the quarterfinals 1-0. You know, that was 23 years ago. We're not closer than that.
The fact that you go in an important match to qualify at Trinidad Tobago, you take an L.
Yeah,
you know, and then you lose to Ghana, and nothing against the African teams or the African nations teams. They're outstanding soccer teams. But the fact that you cannot, with all the resources and players in this country, come up with a squad that doesn't, A, hate each other at times, or hate the coach, or have some kind of controversy, we lead the league in that. We don't lead the league in developing players and going over and winning these things.
Let me say this in defense of the idea. We are making gradual improvement. Maybe our World Cup results haven't been better, but I think the infrastructure is better. The quality of players that we're producing is better, and maybe Pochettino's the guy to bring it all and make us believe.
I watched him with Tottenham. I kind of, you know,
You're not a fan.
I have my thoughts.
Yeah. All right, we have G-Bag of the Day coming up at 2:30. Coming up next here on The Fan. What are you doing, Eric?
Let's go around the rim featuring the one-year anniversary of the Dunk of the Year. Plus, we had food poisoning and a broadcaster ball sacking next in the nation.
Segments brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org, and it's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. With Franklin Frankel, there's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas, the Frankels. Here's the chief.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Let's go ahead and cut the lights out. We'll put the kids down for that spring break afternoon snoozer, and the G-Bag Nation goes all 56 inches around that rim. Always a special occasion when it is the one-year anniversary of the 2024 Dunk of the Year.
Warren did not score and only had one shot attempt in that first half. Another turnover for Utah. Edwards gets it back and threw it down! And one from the rafters!
Dang good call. And unbelievable dunk. That was 1 year ago today. It was John Collins on the other side of that particular poster. And if you'll remember, he was concussed after that. My man was out with an NBA concussion after taking an all-time
facial. Yes. From the basketball off the head.
Yeah.
Wow. Dude.
The ball speed on that dunk was like apparently legendary. They can like break down the advanced metrics of dunks now with like with the explosion, how high they get, the ball speed in terms of when the ball's released from the hand. And apparently that ball came crashing down so hard on the dome of John Collins. He was concussed. In the NBA, you rarely see something like that. I don't think we've seen a dunk this year that was as good as that one. Anthony Edwards soaring from the rafters. That was a great call.
I mean, the one he had two nights ago that kept playing yesterday on TV was pretty incredible.
No doubt.
Yeah.
He's got a handful of them.
Dude, yeah, I would say a couple dozen probably.
And probably less so this year because he's made it a point to not really exert himself in that way. John Morant's been similar where they don't want to get to the rack as much just because of the wear and tear that it creates on you.
Yeah.
But I'm sure like come postseason time, we'll get that vintage Anthony Edwards where it's more consistent with the hammers.
Was there a John Morant dunk this year? John Morant that had one that was...
I think he's had a couple, it's been less for him as well this year.
I know you mentioned that he's doing it less, but I thought he had one earlier in the year that he just...
I do believe you're correct on that.
God, I should have probably looked that up.
It's all right, sure.
Yeah,
Morant can still put it down on you. But last year's Dunk of the Year, Anthony Edwards, 1 year ago on this day. Now, almost a year to the day. This was last night, T-Wolves game. And we had in G-Bag the day yesterday, didn't win, but J.B. Bickerstaff, Detroit Pistons head coach, ticked off at the refs in the rant.
Yeah, incredible rant.
And there is a looming fine, obviously, when you go that hard at the refs at the microphone.
And the refs should be fined. I'm a J.B. Bickerstaff guy on this one.
And I co-sign that.
The John dunk that Brian's talking about is the one that came after the whistle against Wimby.
Okay.
Okay. Yes, yeah. It technically didn't count.
I'm old and can't always remember things, but I thought that it was,
That was a good pull.
It was after the whistle. Okay.
Good clarification.
Gotcha.
So the T-Wolves broadcast last night, they ended up reporting on the $100,000 fine for J.B. Bickerstaff.
Ouch.
And this is how it sounded.
And you saw the J.B. Bickerstaff post-game presser.
That was epic. Epic.
Fined $100,000 by the NBA today.
I'm sure he's not paying that.
Okay, why is he not paying that? Well, they got that particular report from the Ballsack account NBA Centel. There has been no fine handed out as of yet for J.B. Bickerstaff after publicly criticizing the officials and to some extent SGA.
It looks like about $15,000 worth of work, if you ask me.
I think we'll be surprised. I feel like there's a bit of a track record of some of these guys getting the hammer brought down on them at like 50K or something. 100K seems unbelievable. Even 50K is over the top. It wasn't like he was cursing like crazy or anything. He was just lamenting for 90 seconds how bad of the disrespect that his team gets.
I don't know why it's got to be so big. You know, like $5,000 would make the statement that you need to make. It hurts. Some of these coaches making $2-5 million a year. $50,000 is a buttload of money.
Yeah.
Joe Mazulik just got fined $35,000 for aggressively pursuing and directing inappropriate language towards a game official.
Mm.
Yeah. That wasn't a post-game thing. So.
That'll happen, man.
Yeah.
This is sports. Refs are used to that. Okay. Relax with the $35,000. You got to be kidding me.
Now, what we're not
Doc
used
Rivers
to seeing, $25K for Doc.
Yeah.
What we're not used to seeing, though, during an NBA game is a superstar celebrity sitting courtside, vomiting all over the hardwood. Bleeding profusely from his nose.
That was projectile vomiting right there.
Yeah. That was not just a little acid reflux.
No.
That was a full-fledger. Tracy Morgan, Madison Square Garden, collision course with allegedly food poisoning. Now, we can recklessly speculate all we want. He's checked in on Instagram live from the hospital bed, alleging that he's doing well on the heels of last night's public disaster. And he also wants to note that not only is he doing okay, he wants to thank the MSG staff for their assistance and the cleanup crew. But he says, more importantly, the Knicks are now 1-0 when I throw up on the court. So maybe I'll have to break it out again in the playoffs. Hashtag go Knicks.
That's how you make the most of it.
And he is just vomiting violently. And like Kenny Albert is sitting literally 3 feet away
splashing
from
splashing on the broadcast.
My goodness.
And the blood splash. Pouring out of his nose, the white towel covered in red blood.
It looked bad there
for
a while.
It looked real bad.
His buddy's like, crap. I think there is a popcorn a bowl or container under his seat. Somebody needs to grab that and put that like as in a barf bag location.
That would fill up way too fast.
I am glad he's okay. I think my only other point is, I guess it could be food poisoning if by food he means a handle of, you know, his favorite liquor.
Yeah.
Hennessy, the official spirit of the NBA.
If you have food poisoning and you're vomiting and there is a video of it, you're like, you're trying to get out of there or cover it with your t-shirt or hold it with your hands or something, right?
Yeah. Filled with embarrassment and you're down bad. If you have food poisoning, you are as sick as anyone really could be. From my experience,
you're walking off the court way before you vomit.
And you're waddling because you have soiled yourself.
Yeah.
Again, from my experience, this is a both end situation. So maybe that's why they put him in the wheelchair. I don't know, but there's no indication that
he might have been
that
so weak
that
he couldn't even walk.
But
he lost a lot of fluid.
Yeah, if that was real, tried and true food poisoning, I believe he also soiled himself in that courtside seat.
I threw up in a shirt pocket one time at a restaurant.
Did you really?
Yeah, and my buddy goes, "We got to go.
That is phenomenal.
It was $5 margaritas, all you can drink, kind of a thing.
Ended up in your shirt pocket.
I threw up in my shirt pocket. My buddy got me out of there. I had to ride in the bed of the truck. They wouldn't even let me ride.
That's a great puke story, man.
It is. It happened. $5 margs.
I think he did manage to keep it all off that awesome jacket. It was glittery. It looked like the stars out there. That's what I would describe
that's
it
sharp. Yeah, you don't want to puke on that.
No, you don't. It's time to go into the pimp cup where Lucius Alexander has your G-bag of the day.
Carl Anthony Towns, he's seen it and said,
about what's going on right now.
What is this, day number four?
Four.
Day number four for the KNC Masterpiece. All right. Kevin's favorite college basketball team is Duke. Their star player went down right there in front of his eyes while he's trying to broadcast, and Kevin couldn't keep it together, and he's our winner so far for that.
How did everything go so wrong so quickly?
It would have been the first time since 2015 they would have had a chance to win the championship.
I mean, they were in the Final Four a few years ago.
They didn't have a chance that year.
Quick Cliff's Notes. I do love d***.
That's crazy, bro.
Sounds awful personal.
Yeah. Excuse me? All right, so somebody texted in and they were like...
He had no idea what to do with that D. Corey was like, I've never experienced something like this before.
Yep.
Excuse me?
Learn something new every day about my teammates.
All right, let's see what else we got right here. I will have some dueling buzzer beaters for you guys. Some high school buzzer beaters.
Oh, here we go.
From across the nation for you.
Is Garside involved?
Garside. He shoots, he scores.
Electrocution.
Yeah. Garside, man. I gotta hit that, bro. Don't do that.
Throw it in. Garside.
Garside. All right, let's go to Coach Bruce Pearl.
Oh.
Yeah.
You seen him on ESPN?
Yes.
Yep. Talking about his squad.
He's sweating.
He usually looks like he's having a heart attack.
He said his squad is not pusillanimous.
He did.
He did say that.
My guards aren't P words.
He did.
The key to our 3-point line defense is I got bigs that can get out there and guard guards. I got bigs that can get out there and guard guards. And my guards aren't P's. They're going to go down there and bang a little bit. You know, that's good to know.
That's good to know.
I took pride in that as well as a guard. I go down there. You know, I'd tear up a big guy. That's what it took. I called it my big man game. You just got to get low. Low man wins, same as football. You know, get them right, root them right out of there.
Mm-hmm.
These coaches and players don't care anymore, do they, Lucius?
They just say whatever they want to.
Yeah. It's the McAfee
effect.
He
even said in the clip, I don't work for ESPN.
Yeah.
Like, well, you still have to abide by some type of broadcasting ethics.
Because I believe that might have been on the game day, ESPN game day show, which the college football game day show was an FCC violation waiting to happen this past season.
Especially when they was down there at LSU.
Yeah.
Nick.
Roden. Garside.
All right, let's get to these high school dueling buzzer beaters. Let's go to, what is this? I can barely read that. Nebraska State basketball tournament. Norris beat Lincoln Pius. Is Pius Pius because the gods love Pius? They beat Lincoln Pius by a buzzer beater, and it was pretty exciting. I like this call.
They'll switch inbounders. Volkmer to Weber. Shot doesn't get off.
He got that off. Oh! It's good!
Oh!
Yeah,
what a shot! What a shot! There's no way!
So did he get it off or not?
What happened? Did he get it off? Yeah, what was the deal?
Shot doesn't get off.
He got that off.
He did.
Oh! It's
done! Oh! What a shot! What a shot!
He really recovered well with that what a shot.
That was a great what a shot.
And in Michigan, Detroit, what up, Tom? Michigan high school basketball, this guy named Keyshawn Somerville that's just been cooking up there. He has been going crazy. Like, you can just Google his name and you can see what he's been doing.
Keisha Somerville?
Keyshawn Somerville. He's a point guard up there in Lansing.
Okay.
He hit a half-court buzzer beater to win the region. Like, that's a dream. You're a star player and you hit Dang. The half-court buzzer beater for everybody to get a trophy, dog. You are him. Yep. And there was a lady recording this whole situation, and I believe she manifested this shot for him. He needs to go find her. Because she's a good luck charm.
I don't know what y'all happy for. It ain't over. 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 It's not over. Keyshawn can make it. I know he can. Oh. Come on, Key. Come on, Key. Come on, Key. Yeah!
No way.
Crazy.
No way.
Yeah! Crazy.
That is crazy. She manifested that shot.
Like
dude,
that
is
great.
Epic. That is something.
Yeah.
That might steal the vote.
Mm.
You know, I got goosebumps from that clip right there. How can I not vote for it?
Yeah, yeah.
When you hear the silence. Come on, come on. It ain't over. It ain't over. I know it, Keyshawn. You can do it.
It's not over. Keyshawn can make it. I know he can. Come on, Key. Come on, Key. Come on, Key. Yeah!
Hear the buzzer.
Yeah! Half-court shot, bro. A heave. And he hit it.
Family member, maybe?
I don't know. I don't think so.
It's a high schooler?
Away. Yeah, I think that's a young person right there.
Man.
I'm just assuming, Broadus. I don't, you know, she doesn't turn her camera around and let her see us.
Yeah.
Like the old folks do. The camera, when they take a photo, be right there in their face.
Right in their face.
Yeah, right, a little below the chin.
Yeah.
What do you say? Time to vote?
Yeah.
Is it the KNC Masterpiece, our three-time champ looking for four? Kevin is a Duke fan. You have Coach Bruce Pearl, my guards aren't P-words. You have Nebraska, Norris over Lincoln. What a shot, what a shot. Or come on, Key. That's got to be my vote, Chief. How about you?
I'm going to go what a shot, what a shot.
Lucius?
Yeah, Somerville, Mr. Somerville.
Brad?
And his lady luck.
I'm going to go with the high school kid.
Somebody says definitely his auntie. I believe you. Yeah. I don't know.
By a score of 3-1, and your new G-Bag of the Day champion, come on, Key, with the half-court winner. Okay, when we come back, let me see here. Let me check out the show sheet real quick, if you don't mind. Well, what do we got cooking?
NFL News of the Day, perhaps?
Oh, that's right, because coming up at 3 o'clock, Brendan Haywood's going to join us.
Oh, that's going to be a great basketball conversation, top of the hour. But let's hit you with the NFL News of the Day. We have some more draft rumors, and we have a local kid back with a team next in the nation.
Thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan, home of the Cowboys, home of the Rangers. A week and 2 days from opening day, next Thursday at this time, you'll be listening to pregame coverage. We're excited about that. Excited about Brendan Haywood joining us here talking tournament. Maybe we'll talk a lot of Mavs with him as well. That's coming up at 3. Here's the Chief with an edition of Football's Finest. Or, I'm sorry, NFL News of the Day.
NFL News of the Day. Let's do this thing. Looking forward to some March Madness action and a conversation with Brendan Haywood. And then on Friday, cold beers and cheeseburgers in Euless. Going to be a great time. Great basketball extravaganza with the G-Bag Nation. Okay, now we got plenty of Cowboys stuff today. We'll get more to in the C-note, but I did want to talk about a couple of NFL things. I loved the way Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins arrived in Cincinnati to sign their contracts. They got the fatty, fatty boomba over the weekend. They show up today in Cincy, and they both got off the same private jet to go, I would imagine, pen in pocket, ready to go
put the John Hancock right where it belongs. So
Making a statement.
That was a pretty impressive entry into we're here to stay, and we just got paid the two most highly paid duo receivers on any team.
Yeah.
So pretty impressive stuff there.
I mean, that's
great
easy.
Entry.
That looks like about $10,000 private jet rental, if you ask me. I mean, heck, we got NBA coaches paying $30,000 fines for ripping horrible officials. You know, it's pocket change for this tax bracket.
It's all about the fuel.
The old 10K PJ, that's all it takes for like a one-way drop-off.
That's not kind of light.
It's about the fuel. Smaller jet. Where they came from. Like if they picked each other up, or you know, I'm sure that Chase probably picked up Higgins on their off-season homes. And then, so it's all about the fuel. Is what that is. So depending on the length of the trip,
looks like about 12 rows in that plane or so. Do you think that's low? I think we're thinking more like what, $20,000?
Where are they flying to? Yeah, man, exactly. It's the fuel. How far are you going? And that time situation.
Chase is in Louisiana somewhere.
Usually like 15, 20, sometimes 35.
Yeah. Well, they have a deal that tracks if you on TikTok. They track people's planes. And like usually, like it's funny. The average flight, like say an hour and 30 minute flight, is like $3,000 just on fuel. So you got to charter the plane, charter the fuel, or get the fuel for the plane. So, yeah, depending on how many legs of the trip they made, yeah, and then coming back home, probably be the same way. So, just add those two together.
Flying in a PJ would be pretty awesome. The Browns. Have over $2 billion for their next stadium, and the renderings look pretty amazing.
Indoor stadium, huh?
Yeah, it's going to be indoors, and it doesn't really explain whether or not it's going to be a retractable roof, but it doesn't look to be. But it looks absolutely gorgeous, I will say. I mean, from the outside, and then as they take you inside to take a peek at it. Now it does take off the classic blue collar dog pound environment. You're going to be indoors now in Cleveland. That just kind of feels and sounds weird.
Only stadium in the AFC North to be indoors, right?
Because Cincy, Pittsburgh, and Baltimore all outdoors. Yeah. But, I mean, I like what Buffalo's doing, where it's somewhat indoors. Your fan base is, for the most part, kept dry in the situation where there's precipitation. But you still have the field. Like the roof is still open to where the field is feeling all the elements. The
Miami?
Players are playing in the snow. Miami has something similar to
that. They protect the fans, let the field be open.
Yes, but the home sideline in Miami is shaded, and the road sideline has the sun beaming down on them. So that's their little home field advantage. But in general, for these cold weather cities, dude, in Buffalo and Cleveland, you got to still have some of those elements. We just had the game. Wasn't that in Cleveland this year when Jameis Winston on Thursday night in the snow versus Pittsburgh? Mm-hmm. That was such an enjoyable
snow
watch.
Angels.
Yeah.
I am partial to watching it on TV. I think, you know, living down here, it just feels like there's no way I'd want to be in that level of cold for 3 hours plus, you know, getting there a little bit early. So 3.5 hours as a fan, I don't want to do that. But maybe those people get used to it and it's just not that big of a deal. You know, they have all the gear to make sure the heated vest, the gloves,
they
and the right socks and everything.
They really take pride in it.
But I think what I would do ideally is let's have some sort of retractable roof or some sort of cover so we can't have it snowed on. So we got to ask our fan base to come dig us out. Let's have a way of playing in the cold and having that home field advantage. But, I mean, there's too much good technology and too much money in pro sports to not have some sort of defense against being, you know, snowed in.
I like that idea. So all week long, it's snowing in Buffalo, and the inside of the stadium is not being affected. And then shortly before kickoff, you open up the roof, and now
let's
make it. Yeah. I like that. You have the local stud, former first-round pick out of SGP, Jeff Okuda, at the cornerback position, 26 years old, signing with the Vikings, teaming up with Brian Flores. That could be a nice spot for him. But I thought that might be a guy that the Cowboys would want to bring home.
It made sense.
Yeah.
You know, that it could finally happen. Has had a pretty nice career.
Yeah, certainly hasn't lived up to the top pick expectations, but he's still solid enough to be getting gigs.
Got another contract.
That's right. That's what it's about, baby.
Got another contract, baby.
Good for him. Now, I want to play this from Adam Schefter, who was on Ty Schmidt's podcast talking about Aaron Rodgers and the Vikings.
If Aaron Rodgers had his way, I believe that he would like to sign with the Minnesota Vikings. Do I think that that's happening? Not today. Not next week. Do I think it's out of the question? Not entirely. Do I think it's likely? No. But again, it's just lingering out there. Clearly, he has not made a decision about what he's going to do, where he's going to play, if he's going to play. I think he knows that Minnesota would be an ideal situation. But let's remember, this is a team that invested the 10th overall pick last year in J.J. McCarthy. The team is behind J.J. McCarthy. It believes in J.J. McCarthy. If they bring in Aaron Rodgers, who knows what type of impact and influence that will have on the quarterback who is their future.
So I think this is just him waiting for the Vikings. You have Ian Rappaport saying that he doesn't get the sense that Rodgers is in any kind of hurry at all. No deadline for him to be in a hurry. He could drag it out all the way to the draft like it did 2 years ago. Maybe it could.
It's amazing that he's going for that parallel in Favre's career as well. You know, that he wants to have an annoying level where it dang near becomes a controversy about his inability to make a decision and about how he's holding people up. It sounds like he wants to go to Minnesota really bad, but the Vikings aren't ready to give him an answer because I imagine a lot of other things would have to fall in place between now and shortly after the draft for them to be that interested. So, Brian, what you said in the opening segment that maybe he should retire, maybe he's thinking, well, if Minnesota doesn't want me, that is what I'm going to do.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Should. Did, and I like Adam. What the hell did he just say? He might do it. He might not do it.
I think the point of what Adam Schefter is saying is that Aaron Rodgers definitely wants the Vikings, but he's not sure that the Vikings want him. But Aaron Rodgers is going to be willing to wait this thing out until he gets the firm no from the Vikings before jumping to the Steelers or the Giants.
Is it his decision or the Vikings' decision?
It's the Vikings.
Yeah. Well, the Vikings, if they to me, this is like, this is a no-brainer. This is like you drafted J.J. McCarthy to be your guy. He got hurt. You know, let's start the journey now.
They gave you a maybe and you're holding up multiple other teams waiting on it. Just it seems weird.
The funniest possible outcome is he waits out the Vikings and then they decide they don't want him. And then the Giants and the Steelers either just say, no, we don't want you either. Or they just go ahead and sign a quarterback and they're like, we're good here. Yeah. And then Rodgers is the one that's left at the altar.
This guy does nothing to help. You know, your quarterback situation, as far as helping your young quarterback, he's never been a guy that wanted to do anything with helping somebody. He knew that the guy at the Jets from BYU, that Wilson, he knew that guy couldn't play. He wasn't going to help Jordan Love because he knew Jordan Love could play. So this guy's a bad influence. He's a bad person. The Vikings just need to say right now, hey, we're going to, J.J. McCarthy's our guy. We signed Ryan Kelly. We signed Will Fries.
Fries, yeah, the Frenchman.
Yeah, they've signed guys already. They traded for Jordan Mason. I mean, they're this team is better off now playing and trying to get the young quarterback developed and bringing him in and letting him bog everybody down with his BS.
That was a great take. I love you said call him a bad person. I mean, you hit all the right notes. That was fantastic. We'll close it down with just some food for thought. Tet McMillan ran pretty fast yesterday. Big stud wide receiver. Mm-hmm. A lot of Cowboys fans want him at 12.
Yeah.
These mock drafts indicate he's going to be there for the taking.
Right on.
That's exciting.
Yeah, it is. Because I feel like they really need a running back, wide receiver, and corner, you know, as this thing's coming through. And if Tet McMillan is there at 12, I think he might be good enough that it would take them off of some of their other ideas that I don't think would help as much, Brian.
Yeah, I had one team tell me he ran 4.54. Another team told me he ran 4.50. So
good enough for me.
And then there was a 4.48 that was mixed in there, so... that's kind of where we're at right now with
Tet. I mean, with his size, his catch radius, his hands, that's definitely fast enough to be a damn good NFL player. So that would be fun.
You know, I was on with Bobby today on the draft show. Bobby seems to believe there's people in the building that really, really like him and some not so much. That's going to be an interesting discussion.
Brendan Haywood will be an interesting discussion. We'll reminisce on his days with the Mavs and what he thinks about UNC getting into the tournament and who's going to win this thing. That's coming up next year in the G-Bag Nation.